I saw his solemn eye melt with sudden fire and flicker with resistless emotion. Flushed and kindled thus, he looked nearly as beautiful for a man as she for a woman. His chest heaved once, as if his large heart, weary of despotic constriction, had expanded despite the will and made a vigorous bound for the attainment of liberty. But he curbed it, I think, as a resolute rider would curb a rearing steed. He responded neither by word nor movement to the gentle advances made him. "Papa says you never come to see us now," continued Miss Oliver, looking up. "You're quite a stranger at Vale Hall. He's alone this evening and not very well. Will you return with me and visit him?"
"It is not a seasonable hour to intrude on Mr. Oliver," answered St. John.
"Not a seasonable hour? But I declare it is. It is just the hour when Papa most wants company, when the works are closed and he has no business to occupy him. Now, Mr. Rivers, do come. Why are you so very shy and so very sombre?" She filled up the hiatus his silence left by a reply of her own. "I forgot," she exclaimed, shaking her beautiful curled head as if shocked at herself. "I am so giddy and thoughtless. Do excuse me. It had slipped my memory that you have good reason to be indisposed for joining in my chatter. Diana and Mary have left you, and Moor House is shut up, and you are so lonely. I'm sure I pity you. Do come and see Papa."